This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So I'm sure you've noticed this box in front of me, this bright yellow box. And I'm sure you are wondering what is in this box. Well, you'll find out. You may notice that it says danger on it, and that is because this morning I have brought in with me the world's most powerful weapon. This weapon has the ability to destroy in a matter of seconds, and its effects can last a lifetime. This weapon is available to the poorest of countries and to the richest of nations. And we all have access to this weapon, yet there are a few laws against the possession or the use of this weapon. No weapon that now exists or will ever in the future will have the deadly potential of this ancient weapon. So this morning, I would love if I could have a volunteer who would be willing to come up the front and have a look at what is in my box. Now, don't all put your hands up at once, but do I have any hands up who would be brave enough to come and have a look in this box? Michael, yeah, you can come up and have a look. Now, I just have to check first. No allergies, you're not, you okay? Okay, great, come up to the front. You don't have reactions to anything, do you? No?
Not yet.
Okay. So you hold this, I'm going to stand here. So I'm going to open this box in a minute, but first, okay, I'm going to open it briefly. Don't peek in yet. I have to be very careful. So with me, I need these. Because when you're touching the world's most powerful weapon, you need to protect your hands, don't you? So I'm going to put these on. Before, but I haven't got a pair for you. Is that okay? Okay. Are you ready? How are you feeling?
A bit nervous, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready? Do you want to say any last words before? No. Okay. We're ready.
Okay.
Come closer. Can you see what that is? Do you know what that is?
I have no idea what that is.
How does it look? How does it look?
A bit meaty.
Yeah?
Pink on the sides.
Yeah.
I think I can deduce what it is
you
now.
You think you know
yes,
what it is? Okay.
I think I do.
Okay. What do you think it is?
A tongue.
Okay. Let's have a look, shall we? Shall we have a look? It is, in fact, a tongue. It's clearly not a human tongue, but it is an ox's tongue. So I'm going to put this back. And Michael, thank you very much for being my volunteer. Should we give him a round of applause?
You're welcome.
And your prize, your reward for coming up is you get to take this home later. So thanks very much. You can have a seat. So, yes, it's a tongue. It's an ox's tongue. And I'm sure you weren't expecting me to bring this in this morning, were you? But in the fun of this illustration, there is a really serious message, a real serious point. We all have this weapon. It's not as big as this, but it can be as ugly as this. It has the ability to heal. It has the ability to destroy. It has the ability to cause pain or pleasure. And it's all in how we use it. Do we realize how powerful our words are and how powerful our words can be? And if we really understood the impact of our words, would this change what we choose to say? So this morning, I would like to explore this theme of the power of words and taming our tongue. And this talk is going to be based on the book of James, one of the books of the Bible. Now, we're going to be reading from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. So if you want to find that now and save that place, so when we're ready, you can access it easily. There are a few Bibles in the pew. The ones that we are using are the ones with the mountain on them. So if you don't own a Bible and would like one, then please do take that away with you this morning as our gift to you. Now, James is one of the books of the Bible, but was originally a letter. The author of this book identifies himself as James. And whilst there are a number of different theories, as there are four different possible people named James that we know of from other parts of the Bible, the general view is that this letter was written by James, the brother of Jesus. Now, this particular James, he was a key leader in the early church of Jerusalem. And at first, he did not actually believe in Jesus and even challenged his teaching. He misunderstood his mission, but later he became very prominent in the church. The book of James is filled with direct commands to pursue a life of holiness. He stressed that the life of faith is comprehensive, impacting every area of our lives and driving us to truly engage in the lives of other people in the world. For faith, for James, faith was not an abstract proposition, a merely intellectual thing, but it was something that had concrete effects in the real world. James is a very down-to-earth guy, giving us loads of practical examples and illustrations and visual aids to illustrate his point. So let's read James 3, 1 to 12. And I'd encourage you to listen out for those very practical analogies and examples that he gives us to help us understand this message. So James 3, 1 to 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is ever at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So this morning, I'm going to talk about four key messages from this passage. Our speaking can be destructive. Our speaking can be controlled. Our speaking is spiritual, and our speaking can be life enhancing. Now, as I was illustrating at the beginning of my talk, the words we speak are filled with great power. Our words have the aggressive ability to destroy. And in James's day, speaking to each other would have been the main way to communicate alongside the occasional letters. For us, we have a lot to think about how we communicate, as we can communicate via email, text messages, and social media. As James reminds us, one moment things are fine, and the next we are dealing with a major problem. How many reputations have been ruined by careless words? How much hurt has been caused by false accusations? And how many lives have been affected by someone's slip of the tongue? Now, James gives us two vivid word pictures here to illustrate the destructive power of what we communicate. First, he uses the image of fire to describe the way in which, once spoken, words can have an ongoing and an unexpected consequence. I wonder if you know that the fire on Ilkley Moor last Easter was started by someone with a single match. Like a match carelessly tossed onto a dry forest floor, once words are said, it is difficult to take them back or to control the consequences. When harmful words are released, they can spread like wildfire. The second picture that James uses is poison. Now, James uses an interesting word in the original language because it was used to describe both the venom produced by a snake and scorpions, but also to describe rust. And James uses it in both these ways in his letter. So the warning that James gives is twofold. Firstly, that words have the ability to harm others like venom from a snake. And secondly, they have the ability to corrode and destroy just like rust. Now, I'm often challenged by my lovely husband, Mike, of the way that sometimes I can use my tone in conversations with him. Sometimes I don't need to say anything, but sometimes I just have to. And I'm sure you'll find this really hard to believe, but often I like to have the last word. And when I feel hurt, I can sometimes hurt back. And I'm not thinking about the effects or the consequences of what I can say. So my challenge can be learned from a proverb in the Bible, and it's Proverbs 17:28, and it says, "Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." So at times I think that I need to learn the value of silence, acknowledging whether I need to say something or not. Another proverb that helps me is Proverbs 15:1, where it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So if I do need to say something, then I need to make sure that it brings healing to the situation and that it doesn't bring pain. I wonder, in what areas of your life are you aware that your words have been or could be destructive? So I'd like to take a moment to reflect and just ask the Holy Spirit to draw our attention to what he has to say. So in the quietness and in the stillness, if we close our eyes and just allow us to have that moment just to reflect on what the Holy Spirit can say to us about our words. Thank you, Father, for what you're revealing to us. And I pray that you would continue to reveal more to us as we explore this theme. Amen. Now, our speaking can be controlled. James uses four practical pictures to describe the need for controlling the tongue. The bit in the horse's mouth, the rudder, fire, and animals being tamed. If we are to gain control of our words, we must be able to restrain the words that we use and hold back from speaking wrongly. However, this is often easier said than done, because if we're really honest with ourselves, we all say things that we shouldn't most of the time. James emphasizes that we can direct, steer, and control things by this small part of our body. Now, my husband, Mike, and I have struggled lately with the words that our children can sometimes use when they feel hurt or angry or stressed. And for Mike and I, it's really important that they use positive language, because we know the effects that it can have on our lives. And we don't want those negative words to impact the way that they think or the way that they behave. We know that words have power, so we want to see them benefiting from this power being used for good, to bring peace, to bring joy, and to bring healing into people's lives. So what we did is we invented a little rewards and consequences scheme for our boys' use of language. And the one thing that has really surprised us is how quickly this has made a difference. It is encouraging them to really think about the words that they are saying and how they say them. And it's really making a difference to what they are speaking. I suppose if you think about it, we are quite good at controlling our language, our words, when we want to. For example, we might often use a different language at work or church to what we might use if we're at a party with our friends. So our words can be controlled. And I find James's image of the rudder controlling a large ship particularly interesting. It's a challenge to consider that the words that we use can have such a large influence on our lives. And on the other hand, I find the analogy quite encouraging, because it suggests that we can take control, and control is possible. The rudder steers the ship, but the pilot is in control. Our speaking can be controlled. So again, let's take a moment to consider, in what areas or in what ways would you like to get use of your words under control? Another implication of this idea of the ship's rudder is that our words are not just our words, but they are setting the course for something bigger and more significant, steering the course of our lives. Our speaking is spiritual. James uses the contrasting concepts of blessing and cursing in verse 10. The word bless means to look favourably on, to cherish, to prosper, to bring happiness. And the word curse means to bring harm. Surely our words should be to build people up and bring help to them. Another illustration that James uses are the twin pictures of the salt and the freshwater spring and the fruit trees. These two images are really, really saying the same essential message, that we ought to be consistent and use words that are in line with our faith. Just as a spring will produce one kind of water, or a tree one kind of fruit, our words should produce only one kind of effect. The implication is that the things that we say are not a product of our mouths, but are the product of our spiritual condition. If we want to have spiritual growth, our words are one of the first things that Jesus wants to have under his influence. And this can be a real challenge. We may think that it's obvious, but actually, when thinking about this, how easy is it for us to do? On reflection, on a number of occasions, I have happily sang songs of praise on a Sunday, and then in the week, when dealing with a difficult situation, have complained, have moaned, or have even gossiped. Our speaking is spiritual. The reality is we are often inconsistent. And James challenges us by saying, "My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Are we willing to let Jesus take over the way we speak so that he can use us for the way he wants? When reading this passage in James, we can sometimes feel like there's no hope. But actually, I think there's something really exciting about this passage. We have the opportunity to make a real difference, to do the unexpected, and use our words to bring joy, peace, hope, and love into someone's life. Just as much as our words can be destructive, they can also be life-enhancing. By exercising control and recognizing that our speaking is spiritual, we can begin to communicate more of who Jesus is through the way that we speak. Now, I've worked in a number of schools across Leeds, and no matter where I have worked, I've seen a familiar pattern. Young people often struggle with their identity. They really do care what people say to or about them. They just want to be loved and accepted. Therefore, when working in schools, I made a deliberate choice that no matter who I was with, whether staff, students, or parents, I would speak positively about these young people, even if they had done something wrong. I would avoid staff room gossip, and especially I aimed to be consistent. And this hopefully challenged those around me to think about how they spoke to others, but ultimately, this helped the young people to feel loved, to feel valued, and to feel accepted. And it also led to people recognizing that there was something different in my approach. And sometimes they would ask me about this, and it would open up many opportunities for me to explain why I chose to do things a different way. Ephesians 4:29 in the Bible says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Every day we are shaping reality for someone by the words that we use. The right words spoken can make all the difference in building somebody up. Our speaking can be life enhancing. How can you use your words to make a positive difference into people's lives? So far, I've explored how our speaking can be destructive, how our speaking can be controlled, how our speaking is spiritual, and our speaking can be life-enhancing. So how can we use our words to bring encouragement and healing? Proverbs 15:28 gives us some great advice where it says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers." So we need to think before we speak. How do we do this? Here is a practical tip that has helped me. Think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? I have found this little acrostic helpful as it encourages me to take a step back, think, and adjust my words in a more positive and a more helpful manner. So, let me recap. Our speaking can be destructive, like wildfire or like poison. I wonder what God brought to your attention when we took that short moment to reflect on what he was saying to us about the use of our own words. Our speaking can be controlled, like the image of the rudder steering a ship. It is a challenge to consider that the words we use can have such a large influence over our lives. But this image also reminds us that taking control is possible. Our speaking is spiritual. What we say should reflect our faith. Our words are one of the first things that Jesus wants to have under his influence. Our words have great power to heal or to destroy, to bless or to curse, to bring pain or to bring pleasure. So just as much as our words can be destructive, they can be life-enhancing. The tongue is a powerful weapon, and if we learn to use it correctly, it can become a powerful force for good. If we recognize the power of our words, bring them under control, and invite Jesus into our situation, allowing him to change us, our words can make a significant positive difference to those around us. In verse 8 of the passage, James tells us bluntly, "No man can tame the tongue." So it is important to recognize that we need God and we need his guidance and we need his instructions if we are to understand the power of our words and change them for the better. Therefore, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will challenge us, will fill us, and will equip us as we consider the power of our words and how we use them for his glory. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that we have this amazing weapon and we have the ability to bring so much joy and love, peace and healing into people's lives. And I pray that we would choose to use this powerful weapon for good, because we don't want to bring harm to people's lives. So, Father, we ask for you. We need you. Would you equip us? Would you fill us? And would you challenge us to use this mighty force for you, where we will see people come to know you through the positive words that we use, so our words can be life-enhancing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think that leaves us with quite a lot to think about and reflect on. And what I'm going to suggest is that I'd be surprised if anybody leaves this morning without thinking, I need to do some work here. Or I've been hurt by somebody else's words. And so I'd encourage you to reflect on that and take it to your small group and ask people to pray for you. And if you need to repent, do that. It's a discipleship lifelong thing. And Sarah's really put her finger on something really important.